Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hello, all. This is a Garbled Twistery, and I say welcome to the third and final portion of our fun little series of in-between election episodes. And today's topic is... Oh man, I can't even decide between the events that happened and occurred this year. So you know what? Today you're going to get a gift. Two whole events that happened in the year 1819. Both of which are like different and totally rad, bro. So let's go to Hawaii. You see, in October of 1819, Hawaii went through a whole new fashion trend. Don't know what I'm talking about? Why, it's called the
free eating. Now I'm free eating.
No, really. It was a whole revolutionary, taboo-breaking, cowabunga, welcome to the 60s counterculture movement. And when I say counterculture, I mean women are allowed to do whatever they want now, with men. Priests stopped offering human sacrifices. You know, it was just too much work, and they decided, nah, we're tired. The high chiefs stopped following all those persnickety rules, and nobody batted an eyeball. Okay, I bet you're wondering why the status quo was the way it was and what caused everybody to start breaking it so hard. Well, the doctrine that had been governing all this time was the ancient code of conduct known as kapu. And when I say ancient, I mean that if you broke the conduct of kapu, it's off with your head immediately. And there were a whole lot of rules, you know, like you can't touch a holy man's fingernails, you can't wear red and yellow after Labor Day because them's holy colors. There's a whole bunch of other kapu rules to follow because one of the Hawaiian gods was trying to marry his daughter and wanted to hide from his wife, so he made up a bunch of new rules to make that possible. You know, rules like boys and girls can't eat together, and girls can't eat bananas and coconuts because they look like the banana and coconut gods, and women making coconut rope out of the question. So that's what we're contending with when we say status quo. So what caused all these freaking rules to freaking change overnight, Well, remember King Kamehameha the First? Yeah, that guy who took over Hawaii and pushed an entire army off a cliff because it was prophecy? Well, he died, and his son Liholiho took the reins. While everybody was mourning, kapu was temporarily canceled. When everyone's sad, women can eat coconuts until the new leader is all like, okay, that's enough, back to kapu. And Liholiho was just about to do that. But then his mom and her friends were like, no, kapu sucks. The women hate kapu. We're done here. Kapu is kaput. And then Liholiho got lost in a canoe for a couple days, and the women fed him ritual dog meat, and then kapu was over. Coconuts for everybody. And this all happened before the Christian missionary showed up to further complicate Hawaiian traditions. So that sums up the story we have for 1819. But wait! I smell a promise in the air. Did I make a promise to give you all two stories of the year? Indeed I did. So without further ado, let's leave Hawaii and discuss a cheeky little economic event that caused everybody in the mainland U.S. to panic like nobody's disco. Okay, so the War of 1812 is over, and the tea sippers are like, listen, let's just trade whatever we want, however we want, you know? Okay, yeah? And Tealand was like super disorganized, because now they have to get used to peace after fighting Neapolitan ice cream ripping bones apart. This disorganization means all the prices of things are going down, like all over the world, because Tealand is pretty much the center of the economic universe right now. All the gold and silver was spent on the freaking war, and the war-torn European countries don't have time to buy England's fake broomstick holders or whatever right now. And all that chaos over the sea is gonna cause chaos in the States. U.S. factories for British goods, not functional. Adversely, the price of crops that you grow on the land, skyrocketing. So that's why so many U.S. bougie people really focused hard on getting land and making stuff on the land with their slaves after 1812, because it's just where the money is. And for almost half a decade, this disparity between the agriculture and the factory culture was just growing like a tumor. Now let's talk about Agent Cody Banks. So the first U.S. bank was straight up tossed out the window in 1811. And after that, it was basically a land speculation, Wild West, I can do whatever I want with my money free for all. All these private banks were like, hey, this government should never get in the way of our profits. And charter banks were just popping up all over the place because people are greedy. Like that. So the War of 1812 starts, and where is the government gonna get some extra money to fight this war with the tea sippers? Loans from these shady, independent, privately chartered banks. And this was freaking draining the money from the banks, so the government was all like, okay, don't worry about what money you do and don't have in reserve to pay your mandatory taxes or whatever. Just keep loaning the money, we'll work it out later. But they didn't work it out later. The banks just kept giving out loans willy-nilly, forming a bubble, and money bubbles are scary because they'll always pop eventually. So it's understandable for everybody to be like, whoa, man, we need a new U.S. bank. What were we thinking? But you see, the New School Federalists were all like, we told you so, we told you so. And the big business people of the day were all like, yeah, the government needs to do this. Like, it's the government's job to make sure the money is actually okay. It was only the old school Democrat Republicans who were all like, keep your mitts off my money at this point. And poof! U.S. Bank Season 2 starts in 1817. Now then, this new bank had two jobs. Deflate the crazy inflation bubble I just talked about and get some more common folks to have bank credit. Now, the new bank was connected to the official U.S. money department. So yeah, it took paper money when people had to pay their taxes and paid the department with the bank's gold and silver reserves. Now, this bank thought all the other banks would just redeem all the loans they issued in gold and silver because, you know, convertibility theory and all that jazz. And any banknotes that came from charter banks that didn't want to redeem their money in hard gold and silver, out the window. And let me tell you, that's a whole lot of money out the freaking window, man. Please note that this was only trying to impact charter banks, not the bank Joe Potatoes is running out of the back of his grandpa's blacksmith shop. So the stage is set. Now let's talk about the actors. So Prezzy Wezzy Billy Madison gives a promotion to some idiot named Billy Jones, who isn't even a banker, but now has to run U.S. Bank Season 2. This fool had all the businessmen cocking their eyebrows, if you know what I mean. And they did so with a good freaking reason, because the bank was expected to start off with 28 million bucks saved, and it started off with, 2 million. Two. Yeah. Two. And the private banks, they weren't trying to cooperate with the reduce inflation plan at all. Like, at all. Like, at all. Like, basically, they turned the tables and made the U.S. bank indebted to them. So now, the U.S. bank is both lending and borrowing non-existent money. And as I said before, everybody was land speculating and just making this bubble bigger. A volcano erupted, canceling summer in Indonesia, ruining European agriculture, and in turn, ruining the non-existent land money train. Agriculture prices were sliced in half, the bubble popped, the fake money stopped existing, land values dropped by like 50 to 75%. So yeah, the big U.S. bank hired a new guy to reel it all in, and that straight up ruined some lives, but it had to happen, because everybody was living in a cycle of lies about this non-existent money. So yeah, Those are the 18-19 stories for this in-between election episode. It just goes to show that lying about money to make more money doesn't make more money. Come on, people. We keep making this mistake. When will we ever learn? If only Kapoo could apply to money specifically. People in banks who lie about money to make money shouldn't be allowed to drink coconuts. But that's just my take, I guess. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, the sock demon, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and find Garbled Twistery, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon exclusive bonus content. And the current content in the oven is about gathering all my magic. Come together and gather with me. Anyways, next time, it's back to our regularly scheduled programming. The 1820 election is coming up, and we gotta look at who's pulling into the driveway. Oh, if it isn't Richie Rush. What? Who? Find out next week.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Growing like a tumor.